Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com. Or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope everybody's enjoying their time off. It's gorgeous outside, bright sunshine, and so, you know, it just kind of raises your spirits, doesn't it? Now, today we have an interesting show. We're going to be talking to Jennifer Gray, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Practix Consulting. It's an interesting play on words. It's P-R-A-C-T-I-X. And it's a company that helps dentists integrate CBCT technology, which is cone beam computed tomography, into their practices. But before we bring Jennifer on the line, let me just remind folks that on June 14th, we will be holding my third annual Dentistry from the Heart event. Okay, now for those of you that don't know, that is a day of free dentistry for anyone interested. It's from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. It's a long, long day. And it's a great event. We do our best to have entertainment for people. We have food. We have a blood drive that goes on in conjunction with it. We have the Mount Carmel Mobile Healthcare van coming. We have Dr. Erin Whitaker from across the street. She has 5 dental chairs that she opens up to use for this. We have tents and chairs and tables and, oh, it's just a really cool thing. And we don't ask people to see need. We have translators. So, but I'll tell you what, there are costs involved. We need to rent barricades to block off the street. We need to rent tents. We need to find the food, you know, all of those different things. You can't imagine how much goes into this. It takes us about a year to put it on. So why am I telling you this? 2 reasons. One is if you would like to go to drkvitko.com, click on the Dr. Kvitko Charitable Fund, you can make a donation, which would be really appreciated. You can also... it's a little bit easier. You can also go to the Graceland Buffalo Wild Wings, Graceland Shopping Center up there on North High, just north of Morse Road. And today, next Sunday, and the next Sunday, if you go there and you say that you're there to support Dentistry from the Heart, 15% of all of your non-alcohol purchases will be donated to us to help us put on the event. All right? So that would be today, May 26th, June 2nd, and June 9th are the 3 dates that the money will go to our event, all right? So we'd really appreciate it if you would do that. You're going to eat anyway today. Probably may as well just go eat there, and then you can help us out. Okay, so like I said, we have joining us now is Jennifer Gray, Chief Executive Officer at Practix Consulting, Inc., a dental practice management firm that specializes in cone beam computed tomography, CBCT, integration and management. Jennifer has over 8 years' experience in the dental field with over 3 years specifically in 3D radiology. She has taught CBCT scanning protocols and patient positioning techniques for the University of Alberta Faculty of Dentistry and was also contracted to oversee the CBCT acquisition component for the new interdisciplinary airway assessment clinic within their orthodontic graduate program. In 2011, she was the creator and director of a 3D imaging symposium held jointly with the University of Alberta and continues to lecture throughout North America on the benefits and applications of CBCT and the most effective internal promotional strategies to increase case acceptance using this 3D dental imaging. Jennifer holds an honors bachelor's of arts degree in psychology, combined with business administration and policy studies. She is an RDA, which means registered dental assistant, with postgraduate dental implant training, and is currently completing her master's degree in mass communications and public relations. Hey, Jennifer, thank you so much for getting up and being on my show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, thanks. Now, CBCT, we're going to talk a lot about it. It's cone beam computed tomography.
Mm-hmm.
That's important for people to remember. because later on we happen to do a Dr. Kavitko question of the day, and I think you're going to give away a free cone beam scan machine, right, for the winner?
That would definitely be a wonderful prize.
Yeah, because give me an idea, what's the range and cost of these machines?
Well, some of the different companies will certainly have a different price range depending on what type of field of view and whether it's a combined scanner where you can also take some of the orthodontic images, lateral cephalometrics, or traditional panoramic images. So it really kind of depends on the machine, but price ranges could be anywhere from $100,000 upwards of $300,000, just depending on the usage.
Okay, so we have like there's a 6 centimeter, 8 centimeter, and a 13 centimeter basically fields of view.
For some of the machines, yes, and you can actually collimate the images. Originally, kind of, if we're just looking at the ICAT from Imaging Sciences, the original collimation was really more just vertical. Whereas now they have come out with, and similar to the machine through Carestream, is that you can collimate anterior posterior as well. So you can actually take just a very small section for the image.
So collimate means to filter and zero in just on a small area.
That's right.
Which means the radiation level is less.
That's correct, yes. And the areas exposed are limited.
So when people hear cone beam scan or CT scan, one of the things they think of immediately is, oh, I know what that's radiation. I know what that is. That's radiation. That's dangerous. So tell me about that. Tell me how much radiation and how dangerous is it?
Well, again, it's going to depend on the field of view and also the scan time and the resolution size. So when we're looking at cone beam CT, we're looking at voxel size. So the smaller the voxel, the higher the resolution. So that's going to play into how much radiation is actually delivered. Now, we also have to look at the absorbed rate as well, because certain structures, obviously, within the oral and maxillofacial region are going to have a higher absorption rate. So that's going to affect the outcome as well. But some of the newer machines, we can really be looking at about, excuse me, a 4 microsieverts to 8 microsieverts scan, which, to kind of put it in perspective, some of the research has said that sort of a traditional daily exposure just from, you know, the soil or depending on elevation where you live and exposure from the sun would be approximately 8 microsieverts a day. So that sort of helps to put that in perspective.
Normal background radiation is 8 microsieverts, and a cone beam scan can be up to 8 microsieverts.
Well, they can be considerably higher depending on how much of the region is exposed, as well as the scan time and the resolution. So if we were looking at a 0.2 voxel, which is fairly small, with a 25-second scan with a full field of view, meaning we would be capturing the entire head, then we're looking at a considerably higher amount of dose.
Okay, what would that be? 3 times that?
Well, we could be looking inwards or upwards to around 200 microsieverts. It could be considerably less. But, of course, when we compare that to medical CT, which could be into several thousands microsieverts, it's still a very low dose considerably.
So these dental cone beam scan machines are way, way, way less than a medical machine.
That's correct. And that has to do with how the beam is actually transmitted, because in the medical CT, it's the ones today anyway are a fan base. So the rays that are emitted are very highly collimated into a very thin fan-like shape and will sort of rotate around the patient and then translate or move to the next slice. And it continues to do that throughout the scan, and then the computer then reconstructs that afterwards. So we're looking at quite a bit higher dose, whereas in cone beam, the rays will actually start out quite small and sort of go outwards in a cone shape and actually capture the entire area at once and spin around only once. So already the amount that is exposed and the time that it takes to take an image is much, much less.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the word voxel. Everybody's heard the word pixel by now, but a voxel is a 3-dimensional pixel, right?
That's right. So a pixel stands for picture element, and so we're looking at that. Obviously, we've heard that with cameras. When we're looking at a voxel, if you think of a square as the 2-dimensional version of that, a voxel would be a cube.
Right. Okay. So what? And so let me just explain what we're talking about today, folks. Is rather than just a traditional X-ray, which is a 2-dimensional image, just like a picture, and although we might hold it up to the light or put it up on our computer screen, it is just 2-dimensional. A cone beam scan, or the CBCT, is a three-dimensional image that we can rotate using our computer. So we can see it from the front, we can see it from the side, we can see it from halfway in between, we can see it from above and below, and we can really hone in on what's really happening in that area of your tooth or jaw or sinus or whatever. Correct, Linda? Uh-oh, did I lose Linda? Jennifer?
I'm sorry. Perhaps you were speaking with your producer.
sorry about that.
Yeah, probably the best way to think about it is really the difference between looking at a map and looking at a globe.
Okay.
You just get a much deeper appreciation for the positioning of the structures, their angulation, and as well, you know, magnification ratios with two-dimensional imaging, depending on the angulation that the tube head, or meaning the actual machine that it was set at, you can have elongation. You can also have superimposition where, you know, obviously the structures are 3D. We are three-dimensional. So mm-hmm. when you take a two-dimensional image
of
that, it's compressed and it's flattened. So there's going to be some, I don't want to say distortion, but it's not necessarily going to be a one-to-one ratio.
Right.
Whereas with 3D, if the imaging protocols are set properly and the patient is positioned properly, then we can get very, very close to the one-to-one ratio and get a much clearer idea of where everything is.
Now, when you mentioned the globe kind of example, that would be correct, but the globe actually would have to be like cleared with just the landmasses painted on, because a voxel you can actually see up inside.
That's right. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, and certainly the software capabilities that have been developed for using the raw files, which is the DICOM information, can reconstruct it. So you have a three-dimensional representation in the software that you can actually segment, and you can rotate it around. You can do digital treatment planning and really have a good idea of sort of what's going on and where you might want to go with the case.
Yeah, no, it's actually pretty cool. It's too bad it's so expensive, though, and I don't know, the price doesn't seem to be coming down. Instead, the way they're getting the price down is to making the machines more focused, I'll call it smaller. And personally, I don't yet have one, and I would like to have one, but I don't want one that only gives me 6 centimeters or, you know, this little tiny field. I'd like to be able to use it for anything, which then makes the cost prohibitive, at least so far.
Well, and, you know, it's really going to depend on which machine you go with, because some of the machines kind of, I don't want to say originally, but they really resembled the medical CT scanners. For example, the new Tom really looked like a medical CT, and the patient obviously would lie down, and they would kind of be slid, you know, on the track there into the machine, and they were quite large. They took up a lot of office space. Whereas now, some of the machines that have the dual compatibility just take up as much room as a traditional panoramic machine, so they're going to be priced fairly similarly as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so because they're definitely trying to, with the lower dose machines,
right.
It's definitely changing the way a lot of people are treatment planning, and so they're trying to make that a little bit more accessible for everybody.
I see. Now, I taught at the Ohio State College of Dentistry, Ohio State University College of Dentistry, for 20 years in the radiology department, and a little bit ago you were talking about not really distortion. I think you were being kind, because I think we both know that there are a lot of x-rays that are taken to this day where the angle was off, the film was off, things are off. And so if I'm hearing you correctly, once the patient is in this machine properly, and I'm assuming that's not that hard to do because it's like a Panorex, you put it has little temple bars that come in and they have to just have their head in a certain plane, then you have an accurate image.
Well, and it's funny that you talk about the arms that come in, you know, that kind of sit on the side of the temples to keep the patient still. Certainly patient movement is one of the most highly correlated contributing factors to, you know, the diagnostic quality of the image. So, again, when we want to get that one-to-one ratio with the 3D imaging, there's a lot of factors that come into play. We want to make sure that the patient is positioned properly, and as well the scanning protocols that we select. So obviously the higher the resolution and the higher the scan time, you're going to have a higher quality image, but at the same time you're having higher exposures. So obviously we're always trying to think of the principles of ALERA as low as reasonably achievable, and so we really need to kind of think about everything that's involved What's the scan going to be used for? Is the data going to be transferred to an oral and maxillofacial radiologist for reading? And do they have specific requirements? For example, I know quite a few of the radiologists, when looking at implant cases, will require a certain level of resolution in order to make an accurate diagnosis. Or, you know, some of the software programs for guided implants will have set protocols that the resolution cannot be higher than 0.4. So, you know, sometimes diagnostic quality and the usage of it, everything sort of needs to come into play. So
I see. Okay. Well, we're going to let people ponder that for a few minutes because we're a little bit behind going to our first commercial break. So stay with us. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We are here with Jennifer Gray, Chief Executive Officer of Practix Consulting, and we're talking about CBCT, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Decide Dentistry, the leader in high-quality cosmetic and restorative dentistry in Central Ohio, now offers the latest technology, fast braces. It's fast, safe, and affordable compared to traditional braces. This new technology of fast braces allows for less treatment time, and that means the patients save time and money, achieving the best smile possible. Dr. Desai is also a provider of six-month smiles and Invisalign. She's very well known for her crown and bridge work, too. Visit DecideDentistry.com. Dr. Desai Dentistry, brightening lives one smile at a time.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers is the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
Hi, it's Trisha Moore. When I created You at Your Best, it was not only to inspire myself, but you to change your lives for the better. We can't do it alone, right? I needed to choose a partner to help me, people with a history of success. I chose Premier at Sawmill Athletic Club. My trainer, James, and my group of fitness friends have given me solutions that make fitness work in my life. Stop thinking about where you should go. Make the call today. It's easy to see why Premier was voted number one fitness club in Columbus. Call for membership specials now. 336-CLUB, 336-258.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
All right, we're back and we are with Jennifer Gray, Chief Executive Officer at Practix Consulting, Inc., and she specializes, or her firm specializes, in helping dentists incorporate cone beam computed tomography, CBCT, into their practice. Right, Jennifer?
Yes, that's correct.
Pretty much it? Okay. Okay, so you're not the typical practice management consultant.
No, you know, certainly we are specializing in transitioning offices from 2D to 3D, or for offices that have perhaps been using the technology for a few years in their practice but would like to, you know, incorporate the technology a little bit more fully into their practice as far as, you know, how to provide a really interactive case presentation, how to communicate the information and the technology to the patients and their families, and how to answer some of the difficult questions that may come up when using a new technology. So we try to be a resource for anything 3D, and certainly for those things that are beyond our scope of practice, we try to provide the information and contact links to those specialists who would be able to provide those services.
Okay. Now, the primary use, as I see it, in dentistry seems to be for dental implant placement, to make sure that we know where exactly the nerve is, where the sinus cavity is, how much bone there really is there, and also, say, the width of the mandible, because sometimes it can look like you have plenty of length, but what you don't know is maybe on the tongue side, the bone gets really skinny there and the implant might just kind of peek out the lingual side underneath the periosteum and you don't know it.
That's right. Yeah, definitely. See, I've seen quite a few of the lingual concavities that have certainly been a bit of a surprise.
Oh, I like the way she says lingual. She says lingual because you're in Canada, right?
Yes, that's right.
I've been waiting for the oot and a boot, and I didn't get much of that, but the lingual.
it's forever going to be a running joke through my counterparts in the States. So.
Do you also say aluminium for aluminum?
Aluminum.
Oh, you guys say aluminum? Okay, because people in England say aluminium.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I haven't heard that one, but okay.
No, it's true. Okay, now I don't have a cone beam scan machine, and yet I place implants. And I'll have to say that it's not been an issue, although I'm not placing 12 at a time. So in my estimation, it seems like unless I'm going to take an edentulous ridge and place 12 implants in it, I'm probably okay. Now, I also do sinus lifting procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, at least, I've been able to use my Panorex, and I've been able to use my periapical x-rays with a grid that spreads out or has like 1 millimeter little boxes on it. Mm-hmm. And then I have my computer can calculate that distortion that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So if the images elongate a little bit, my 1 millimeter boxes might be 1.5, but I know that that little square means 1.
Right.
So what would be your argument to me that I should invest $100,000 to $300,000 in this machine? Because don't forget, we have other dentists listening.
Right. Well, my answer would be that I wouldn't have an argument for you to purchase a CBCT. That's certainly not my place, nor is that the focus of our company. We are primarily there just to help those who have decided that they would like to integrate the technology into their practice. So if it was a question between whether you should or shouldn't, that certainly rides with the clinician, and that would be their own decision as to whether that technology would be beneficial to their practice. And once they've made that decision, then we're more than happy to help them out to make sure that they really have everything up and running and that their staff is trained and everybody kind of understands where it is they're going with their treatment options. But as far as the diagnostic quality versus 2D or 3D when placing implants, you're right. If you were doing a full arch reconstruction or, you know, multiple implants, then I know a lot of clinicians who wouldn't even do a single implant without using a 3D scan, and yet there are other clinicians who, such as yourself, using, you know, palpation and all the other methodology that, of course, has been working for years and years and years, are still comfortable doing it that way. So there's certainly no right or wrong answer when it comes to imaging, and that would definitely not be my place to argue either or.
Okay. Well, I didn't get you up at 8 in the morning to argue anyway, but but anyway. Now,
well, thank you.
Well, what I'm seeing is it seems like there are general dentists that want to get into implants, placing them, but they're feeling like, I better not do it unless I have a cone beam scan machine. Would you say that it's kind of being used as a crutch, in a good way, but as a crutch?
I don't know if I would necessarily label it as a crutch. Everybody treatment plans differently, and it's really going to rest within their level of comfort and, of course, their level of experience with doing that sort of procedure. So, certainly there are quite a lot of clinicians who will refer for a CBCT scan, whether they have one in their office or not. There are certainly quite a few imaging labs and other offices within their area that would possibly take referrals. And sometimes it has to do more with having the report from the radiologist. And, of course, you're able to do that with 2D imaging as well. But that could the radiologist will sometimes provide the measurements for you and can help with, understanding if there's any kind of pathology in the area. So I don't know if it's necessarily a crutch, but it could just be more of a I'm going to cover my bases sort of viewpoint.
Okay. Basis is a nice word. Okay. So because, you know, one of the things early on figured out that the inferior alveolar nerve, which is in the mandibular canal,
mm-hmm.
If you take a tooth out, say you take a molar out, a lower first molar, and you want to put a lower first molar implant there, you don't have to worry that the nerve is anywhere different than it was when there was a tooth, unlike the maxilla where the sinus will grow, you know, kind of drop down.
That's right.
Basically, I just draw a straight line between the root tip of the tooth in front and the tooth behind where I'm placing the implant. And if my implant doesn't go any deeper than that, I can't be in the nerve. I can't make that person numb.
Well, yes, I suppose that would be correct, that you're not going, you know, to use your word deeper. I think some of the problems that can sometimes arise with a few of the cases that I've been privy to watch is, you know, the tricky part comes in when the nerve is actually sort of not wrapped around, but their proximity to those roots, although in a vertical viewpoint, it might not look like there's much of an issue, but it may get very close, you know, sort of how it's kind of snaking through. So
I think you're referring to the mental foramen area,
mm-hmm.
which is between the first and second bicuspids.
And no, but even in the molar area, we don't, you know, obviously you're right, you don't want to get anywhere near the nerve. And certainly if there was a tooth there and there wasn't an issue, I agree with that. But again, you know, I'm not the clinician, so I'm not doing the surgery. So that would be on what you think is best. So.
Now, are these the machines that can be used to create bite wings?
Not necessarily. I mean, the smaller field of views. I suppose if you could collimate within that area, then yes, you could potentially take a three-dimensional bite wing there. I know a lot of offices will still have. It's not necessarily replacing 2D imaging. You know, certainly the bite wings and traditional 2D panoramics are still definitely, I guess, a standard of care, but it is certainly shifting. And, you know, I don't see a lot of, well, here anyway, in the practices that I've been in, I don't see a lot of full male series and those types of things being used anymore, because we're looking at quite a higher dose depending on the speed of the film that you're using and the exposure and that sort of thing. So when you can take a 3D pan, for example, you know, around like 12 or 15 microsieverts, taking a full mouse series at around 250 microsieverts, then, you know, is sort of a toss-up there, so.
Yeah, I was hoping that the answer was going to be yes, because I was at a CE course a month or two ago, and I saw a machine in the corner, and they were touting their bite wings that you could use. This is essentially looks like a Panorex, but they can hone in on just the area that would be bite wings.
Mm-hmm.
And put that up on the screen. So the thought that it's basically, they call it external bite wings. But which machines do that?
Well, any of the newer machines that have the smaller field of view. So, and again, I don't receive any compensation from the companies or software programs that I'm mentioning today, but Imaging Sciences, their new iCat Flex, has come out with a smaller field of view machine, and of course the Carestream machine as well has been doing that for a while. So, you know, the idea is that, you know, we're looking at endodontics, for example, you know, a very collimated, high-resolution scan would be very useful for those types of difficult cases. So that sort of, those machines, I think, probably would be best for that.
Give me the names again.
From Carestream and from Imaging Sciences, the iCat Flex.
Okay. All right, now, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to have Dr. Kavitko's question of the day, and we're going to do that now. So remember what CBCT stands for. It stands for Cone Beam Computed Tomography. But before we do Dr. Kavitko's question of the day, we'd like you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kavitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kavitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kavitko's question of the day.
Before I give the question, let me remind folks that the winner will receive free flowers from Vice Denver Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. We want to thank Vice Denver Florist for that. It's a wonderful florist. It's actually my florist. So free flowers from Vice Denver Florist this Tuesday afternoon. Okay, the question of the day is, the phrase CBCT stands for what? Is it A, cone beam computed tomography, B, computer-based CT scan, C, can't buy cost too much, or D, cute boys cutting trees? All right, the phrase CBCT stands for what? Is it A, cone beam computed tomography, B, computer-based CT scan. B, can't buy, costs too much. Or D, cute boys cutting trees. All right, the winner receives free flowers from Vice Denver Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The phone number to call, 459-9769. That's 459-9769. Call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
You made a resolution to have a better career in 2013. Let me help you. At Assist to Succeed of Columbus's Dental Assisting School, we have new classes starting on April 13th and July 27th. Hi, this is Kendra, owner of Assist to Succeed of Columbus, located in the Dublin Plaza Shopping Center. Keeping some resolutions is hard. Getting a better career is easy, fast, and affordable at Assist to Succeed of Columbus's board-approved Dental Assisting School. You can train to become a dental assistant in just 10 Saturdays in a real-world dental office, not a schoolroom, while many other schools will charge you $8,000 to $10,000 or more. Plus books and lab fees, Assist to Succeed's dental assisting program is less than $5,000, and that covers everything. Financial aid is available to those who qualify. Again, courses are offered April 13th and July 27th. Don't delay, space is limited and classes are filling up. Call me today at 740-602-1250 or go to Assist to Succeed of Columbus.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Remember the beautiful smile you had before you had dentures? Do your denture teeth not even look like your natural teeth did? Do you not even recognize yourself when you look in the mirror? Call us at 262-9588 and let us help you turn back the clock.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
Sie hören zu einer Rede über zahnärztliche Sachen mit Dr. Kvitko hier an Ihrer beliebtesten Station.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko@aol.com.
Okay, and we're back, and we're doing Dr. Kvitko's Question of the Day. With us on the phone is Jennifer Gray, Chief Executive Officer at Practix Consulting, and they are a firm that helps dentists incorporate CBCT into their practice. So the question of the day was, what is or what does CBCT stand for? And we have four callers on the line, so what I want to do is ask Jennifer, would you please pick a number from 1 to 4?
Let's go with line 2.
Line 2. Okay. So we have now, don't everybody else hang up yet because we have to make sure that Nancy has the right answer. We have Sarah, Nancy, Scoop, and Marty, but let's go to Nancy. Hey, Nancy, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks.
Good. Thanks for listening, Nancy. What do you do for a living? I'm curious.
I'm sorry?
What do you do for a living? I'm curious.
The answer is A.
The answer is A. You don't think it was cute boys cutting trees?
I'm sorry?
You don't think it was cute boys cutting trees?
No. That wasn't it. No. That wasn't it. That wasn't what A was.
What do you do for a living?
I'm sorry?
What do you do for a living?
What do I do? I'm a, I am a home health aide.
Home health aide. Okay. Okay, cool. No, no, I know you had the right answer, and you're going to win the free flowers from Vice Denver Florist. And they'll be delivered this Tuesday afternoon, okay? So stay on the phone, and we'll get your information where they can be sent.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. All right. I guess she was having a little trouble hearing me. And no, nobody wins the Condeem scan machine because it's $100,000 at minimum. Okay, so back to Jennifer. Okay, Jennifer, so now what procedure do you think this machine is most useful? For which? Would you say it's the implants or something else?
I guess it can really be useful for a multitude of applications. Certainly you discussed the use for dental implants, and I think oral and maxillofacial surgery was probably one of the first specialties to sort of use it more in a mainstream fashion. But orthodontics has certainly grasped the technology and definitely going forward with that, especially with the lower admitted dose that are coming out with the newer machines, and being able to give a really comprehensive treatment evaluation, including, you know, airway and sinuses, and you know, when we're looking at orthognathic surgery or those types of things. So I think those are probably the two areas that are using it the most.
So orthodontists and oral surgeons, or oral surgery procedures and orthodontics, and also, well, for example, you talked about airway, so maybe for sleep apnea or to see if your therapy is working, maybe these sleep appliances, we could do a follow-up cone beam scan and determine if the airway is now open?
That's right. If it, you know, for the interdisciplinary airway assessment clinic at the U of A that I was involved with, you know, the idea was, you know, obviously working with the ENT and sleep medicine and orthodontics, and for these kids that were you know, pre-selected to have airway obstructions and or limited airway functioning, trying to find the least invasive treatment options. So whether it was going to be through the ENT or through orthodontics with orthognathic surgery, and being able to open that airway and potentially limit the development of sleep apnea later on in life. So having a three-dimensional scan in that sense is really able to get a better perspective as to, you know, where is the most limited area of that airway. So
okay.
That's certainly something that the orthodontists have really enjoyed, having that ability.
Now, are these images, are these scans covered by insurance, and at what level?
They can be covered by insurance. Obviously, there are so many different insurance plans that are out there, and of course, the billing systems are quite different in the States than they are in Canada as well, but there are some plans that can certainly cover quite a bit of the CBCT scan itself, but as well it can be incorporated into the initial examination, or as well some of the images that you can extract from the scan. So again, depending on the field of view, but if it was an expanded field of view, you could be extracting the lateral cephalometric, the panoramic image. You could be taking the PASEFs and those types of images as well that can be extracted out and billed accordingly. So,
so what Jennifer is saying is we take one image, say a 20-second image, and from that you can create, using the computer, a lateral X-ray. You can create an AP or an anterior-posterior X-ray. You can create these different images that we would have to have taken separately with a 2D machine, correct?
That's correct, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a 20-second scan.
Oh, how many seconds?
No, that's fine.
What's your average?
It really has to do with, obviously, the field of view, because if we've, you know, if we've only captured a very small area, then, of course, we're not going to be able to extract those other images, because those areas of the maxillofacial region haven't been captured, which, of course, makes sense. But if we're able to have that full field of view, then we can extract those other images. Of course, when it comes to insurance, though, and from what I understand with some of the systems in the States, is that, you know, you do have to send those images in, and they do have to necessarily be warranted for them to be able to cover them. So certainly if people are looking for more of that information, we're more than happy to kind of get them in contact with a few individuals who can help them with ensuring that those renderings are done appropriately.
Okay. So if a dentist is listening and has decided that they think they maybe you can take the scariness away of out of buying this machine, first of all, do you think they could finance the cost of your company services into the purchase? And secondly, how would they reach you?
What did you say about incorporating?
Yeah, if they want to incorporate this technology into their office and hire your company to help them make it less scary, can they incorporate the...
Well, I would be... our company is an independent contractor, so we are not... we're not necessarily contracted out by the manufacturers of the machines. So, you know, certainly we do work very closely with some of the companies as far as being a resource for their customers as well. But, you know, once they've kind of made that decision or they're thinking of bringing that machine in and they would like to sort of know what's all involved ahead of time, then certainly they can contact us via our website, which is Practix Consulting, P-R-A-C-T-I-X, consulting.com. And, of course, all of our contact information is there as well.
Okay, so practixconsulting.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're up against another break, so stay with us, please. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su estación favorita.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers, the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
Hi, it's Tricia Moore. When I created You at Your Best, it was not only to inspire myself, but you to change your lives for the better. We can't do it alone, right? I needed to choose a partner to help me, people with a history of success. I chose Premier at Sawmill Athletic Club. My trainer, James, and my group of fitness friends have given me solutions that make fitness work in my life. Stop thinking about where you should go. Make the call today. It's easy to see why Premier was voted number one fitness club in Columbus. Call for membership specials now. 336-CLUB, 336-258.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go or if you could afford it? Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kvitko Mentness & Associates, we've been doing successful smile makeovers for decades. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos, or see a small sampling of them at drkvitko.com. Plus, we've made them affordable. Whether you choose the low monthly payments or having your makeover done in phases to spread your cost over time, I know you'll be happy with your new smile. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that's guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
And we're back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Today with us on the phone from Ottawa. No, did she say Ottawa? Where are you?
Where are you? Kingston.
Where?
Kingston.
Oh, Kingston, Ontario. That's right. We're talking about Ottawa because my father was from there. Okay. So you are from Kingston or in Kingston, Ontario. Your company is called Practix Consulting or practixconsulting.com, P-R-A-C-T-I-X consulting.com. And this is Jennifer Gray, the CEO of the company, and she helps dentists incorporate this cone beam scan technology into their practice. So, hey, Jennifer, I want to find out, you know, there's the CBCT machine that we've been discussing, the cone beam computed tomography, and then there's the medical CT.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people have fillings. They have silver fillings. They have crowns in their mouth, metal. And my understanding is that metal causes streaking on these scans. And so how do these machines add up to or compare to the medical side, the medical CT scans?
Well, Compeon CT is certainly going to have a better result when it comes to metal artifacts, and really, that is of course a concern, because any sort of distortion of the information or skewing of the imaging that could be as a result of these metal fillings or restorations is going to affect the quality of the image. But certainly CVCT kind of has a leg up on that one. And it is important to consider, because a lot of the third-party software integrations that you can use for the, send the DICOM image to for use, for example, with SureSmile for orthodontic purposes, kind of a few years ago, those patients and primarily adult patients that would have a lot of restorations within their mouth, it would almost prohibit them from using that CVCT to use SureSmile. So it has actually changed quite a bit now, and of course a lot of the rendering softwares that we have, you can actually limit that quite a bit and cut some of that information out so that we can kind of focus in on the area that we're most concerned with. So
okay, now, and one reason I bring it up is this would basically, it should preclude somebody from saying, well, my medical insurance covers a medical CT, so I'll just go get a CT of my head and I'll bring it to you. That's not going to work, is it? Because it's going to have all these streaks on it from the silver fillings that they probably have.
Well, that, and also it would be exposing yourself to significantly higher radiation that really wouldn't be necessary. So,
okay.
Obviously, if there was a... Now, we need to be clear, though, as well, that the CT imaging, should you have already had a CT image of the oralomaxillofacial region for another purpose, that information can certainly be used, having it in the DICOM format. So we're able to, the oral radiologists and, of course, the dental practitioners are able to use that scan and that information. So there's no need to necessarily repeat the scan, but I wouldn't go get a medical CT in place of a cone beam CT.
Right, right. Now, there is a point where the CBCT isn't as good as the medical CT, and that would be it has relatively poor soft tissue contrast. So
that's correct.
Yeah, that's
right. It's great for dental purposes, in the sense that we're looking at the harder structures. But yes, medical CT, any of the soft tissue type structures, if you were looking at the lungs or pathologies within the tongue or something like that, medical CT is certainly superior in that sense for diagnostic quality.
Yeah, so CBCT would be good to evaluate osteoarthritic changes in the TMJ or temporomandibular joint, but not suited to evaluate the TMJ disc displacement.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things that I wanted to kind of go back to when you were talking about, what areas of dentistry are kind of using this technology the most, what is it most beneficial for, and TMJ diagnosis and treatment is definitely up there. It's been great to be able to see sort of changes within the TMJ, pre and post orthognathic, or just to be aware of any kind of degenerative joint disease that may be, starting to remodel the joints and things like that. So that's definitely an area that has been very, that has benefited from CBCT.
Yeah. Hey, is there such a thing as getting a false positive with a CBCT?
A false positive.
So you think that there's a lesion there that there isn't? That would be a false positive. And I guess, and of course, the other question would be, can you get a false negative where the CBCT looks great, no problem, go ahead and place your implant, only to later find out that you had a false negative, meaning there was an issue that you didn't see?
Well, and I think that would probably be more a question for one of the radiologists, because, they're certainly very highly trained in being able to decipher the information that's on the image. So,
okay, so that's not really your purview, and you're not really sure.
What's that, sorry?
That's not really your purview, and you're not really sure.
Yeah, that when we get into sort of clinical diagnosis and that sort of thing, that's an area that I leave to you guys.
Okay, because I know there are lesions that look similar. You have cervical burnout on a tooth, for example, that can mimic decay. And of course, we're pretty good at figuring out which is which, mm-hmm. but you can be fooled by your two-dimensional X-ray. I just wondered if you could be fooled by the three-dimensional X-ray, and the answer is not really sure.
Well, potentially, but again, that question would probably be better posed to one of the radiologists.
Okay, maybe we'll have to get one of them on the show someday, huh?
Yeah.
Now, what percent of general dentists do you think now own a CBCT machine?
A percentage. Well, in Canada, it's changing quite a bit here because for a while we sort of had limitations on the ownership of the machines, and still actually in Ontario, I know they're kind of working on it, but in Ontario they're still limited to being owned by the oral and maxillofacial radiologists or, of course, the universities, and now the ban has actually been lifted, so BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba have all allowed for general practitioners to own the machines in their office. So as far as an exact percentage, I don't necessarily have those numbers this year because it is still changing. In the States, there's still quite a few more users there because the regulations are different within the states and within the individual states as well. Some of them have specific requirements that you can own the machine, but you can only own a small field of view unless you are a specialist in a certain area, or you're allowed to own a machine that has all of the fields of view, but you need to have that scan read by a radiologist regardless of the size of the scan taken. So I would definitely recommend for each practitioner to touch base with their federal and state legislation to take a look at what their requirements are. So,
okay, so but if I hired your company, you would do all that for me?
I could certainly get in touch with them. Yeah, and I do have quite a few already that we sort of stockpiled because we've worked in those states before, or, you know, certainly here being in Canada, those different provinces, we try to keep abreast of the regulations and how they're coming along. So, yeah, that's part of the service that we provide is making sure that you have all the information that you need so that you can do what you do best.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, stay with us. We have to go to our last commercial break of the hour. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko and Jennifer Gray of Practix Consulting Incorporated, and we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il Dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He could put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Decide Dentistry, the leader in high-quality cosmetic and restorative dentistry in Central Ohio, now offers the latest technology, Fast Braces. It's fast, safe, and affordable compared to traditional braces. This new technology of Fast Braces allows for less treatment time, and that means the patients save time and money, achieving the best smile possible. Dr. Desai is also a provider of six-month smiles and Invisalign. She's very well known for her crown and bridge work, too. Visit DecideDentistry.com. Dr. Desai Dentistry, brightening lives one smile at a time.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers, the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Have years of coffee, tea, or smoke darkened your teeth? Do you remember when your smile was white and bright? Would you like to recapture the days when your smile lit up the room? Call us at 262-9588 and let us help you turn back the clock.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates. Smile a little smile for me, Rosemary, Rosemary.
Okay, and we're back, and we have about 5 minutes before the end of the hour, and so we'll have to kind of do a wrap-up, but you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and on the show with me today, calling in from Canada, is Chief Executive Officer of Practix Consulting, Jennifer Gray. So Jennifer, hey, thank you so much for being on my show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I always wondered what you did after leaving Dirty Dancing.
I just took a break and, you know, really got into yoga and...
You spell your name with an A, right? And she spells hers with an
right.
A. Okay. So that's not who we're talking to.
No, but I get that a lot.
You do? Okay. And then also, you know, we've mentioned several times that you're in Canada. And mm-hmm. You know how we refer to the states as USA?
What's that, sorry?
How we refer to the states as USA?
Uh-huh.
Well, did you know it's really CND is really what Canada is supposed to be called? That's what your legislature decided. And so when they decided, and then so the guy got up and said, okay, so it's going to be C-A-N-A-D-A, right?
Behave.
Sorry, I can't. But anyway, okay, so like I said, we have a little, just a few minutes here. Is there anything that I missed, anything you want people to know about this technology?
Well, you know, it's certainly a fantastic technology if used appropriately, and I would say that the most important thing for a practitioner to know when integrating the technology is that training is really is key, not only on just how to use the machine, but ensuring that the entire office is understanding what it is, how it's going to be used, how to answer the difficult questions from the patients, and to ensure that everybody's on board and that we can use it effectively. So.
And basically, the benefits outweigh the risks?
Well, certainly the way that the lower dose machines are, then yes, definitely.
Okay. Because it's a way of, and we didn't talk about it on the air, we talked a little bit off the air, but what we use these things for, especially for placement of implants, is to locate the implants in the exact right spot and to do it in a way that can be efficient. And so you can take an edentulous ridge. Somebody walks into my office with no teeth mm-hmm. at all, and we can take a cone beam scan, or in my case, send them to have one done, because there are a couple places in Columbus where we can have them done. And then I can send that information off to an imaging center, a center that will read the image. And what they'll do is they'll create 3D models, and they'll create a surgical guide that will fit right over the person's ridges when they come in for implant placement. And they're custom made. They sit right over the ridge, and there are ways of like attaching it so that it doesn't move. And then there are these little metal cams that are inside there in every place where an implant's going to go. So when I put my drill in, I'm going through this little guide, and I can't go crooked and I can't go too deep. And
that's
it just
correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And guided implant surgery is definitely becoming a very, very popular method. And yeah, definitely. The imaging allows you to plan the case from start to finish, but at the same time, you know, yes, you also are having the clinical transfer of guides. You know, with oral surgery, you're able to have stereolithic models made so that you can really understand as far as grafting, how much bone you're going to need, and those types of things. So it's really making things, you know, easier to understand where you're going and what to expect. But at the same time, it's fantastic for the patients because they can now visually see what it is that you want to do. So the case presentation can be very powerful for the patient to really see the transformation with a pre and post, you know, little movie, so to speak.
Yeah, and then we can because everything is predetermined and it's all down to the I'm trying to think the tolerance. Is it a fourth of a micron or something? What's the tolerance on this? Do you know?
No, I think you're probably correct. It's very close, and you know, definitely. Again, when we talk about the position protocols, if we can get that one to one, then we're really looking at a very limited variance.
Right, right. So we know exactly what it's going to look like before we start, and I do that with my smile makeovers. I do a trial smile, and so it's really powerful if you can show the person before you've ever done anything to them, in my case, other than impressions, what it's going to look like when we're finished. And
that's right.
You know, because
yeah.
It's scary. It's like, boy, this is surgery, and I don't know. What if I don't like it? All that kind of thing. Anyway, you know, I want to make sure that I mention that today, next Sunday, and the Sunday after, I would like people to go to the Graceland Buffalo Wild Wings and have dinner and tell them you're there for Dentistry from the Heart, okay? Because if you don't tell your server, we won't get credit for it. And Jennifer, thank you so much for being on my show. Again, Jennifer Gray, Chief Executive Officer at Practix Consulting, Inc. And tell us how you can be reached again, Jennifer.
Through our website, which is practixconsulting.com, and our contact information is there, and of course through any of the social media channels as well.
Okay, sounds great. You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. I'm Dr. Kvitko. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Derek Mahoney from Australia, who has a program or a system he calls Full Face Orthodontics. Please be sure to tune in next week.
Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.